Many of us began the fourth perek, perek Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis in Rosh Hashanah, and the first sugya there is an extremely important sugya. I think probably on Wednesday when I give the Chabur we'll probably talk more about it, but let's just begin with the following. So we have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, where the Gemara presents a problem. We have a stira between two psukim. One pasuk says in Vayikra, Tabra b'nei Yisrael leimer b'chodesh ha-shvi b'echad ha-chodesh yelachem shabboson zichron shrua mikra kodesh. Yet we have another pasuk that says that yom shrua yelachem, so the Gemara is not sure. What exactly does it mean? Is it a yom shrua or is it a zichron shrua, and what is the difference between those two? So the Gemara tries to give an answer, the Gemara falls off of that answer. Finally, in the end, the Gemara comes to say that the Gemara originally wanted to say that when we say zichron shrua, it means when Rosh Hashanah is chalias b'shabbos. And since Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not going to blow shofar on Shabbos. So therefore we call it a zichron shrua. It just reminds us of the shrua because we don't actually blow the shofar itself. Then the Gemara comes off and says, you can't give that answer because min ha-Torah, mid ha-Raisa, of course you're allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos. There's no prohibition at all. Finally, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that really, you're right, and the whole prohibition of blowing shofar on Shabbos is only mid-Rabbanan. What's the prohibition of blowing shofar on Shabbos? Because Gzeira Shema Yavi Renu. We're concerned maybe somebody is going to take the shofar and you're going to walk outside into Rosh Hashanah with it, and then you're going to violate the Yisr Hotzah, which is a Malacha Daraisa. Now, the Chasam Sofer on our Gemara and other Achronim on our Gemara present a very obvious question. The Gemara starts off and says, we have a stira and two psukim. One pasuk says Zichron Shua, one pasuk says Yom Shua. The Gemara in the end doesn't give us the answer. What's the answer? Why do I have two psukim? One pasuk says one thing, one pasuk says the other. If the Gemara in the end comes out and says that the whole reason why you can't blow shofar on Shabbos is only midrabanan, then what does the pasuk mean when it says zichron shrua? What does that mean? So Rabbi Yosef Engel always has charifus, but Rabbi Yosef Engel here in our Gemara writes in the Galilei Ne'ashas that maybe the understanding is as follows. He says, really, Moshe Rabbeinu already came up with this takana of gzeira shemi avirenu. This wasn't something that came along later. Moshe Rabbeinu already, the first Shabbos in the Midbar, the first time they had Rosh Hashanah, he was nervous. How are we going to allow them to blow shofar? Gzeira Shemi Avirenu. Maybe they're going to have a violation of the Yisr Hotzah. So Moshe Rabbeinu already in the time came up with the Gzeira that you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. And that's why when he wrote the Torah, he said Zichron Shrua, and he also writes Yom Shrua, because it depends. Moshe Rabbeinu said it depends. It depends if you're living at a time when you have Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, then you're going to have Zichron Shrua. If you're living at a time when Rosh Hashanah is not Chalias B'Shabbos, then it's going to be Yom Shrua, which is a Pella of a terrorist. How can you say such a thing? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu made up the rules as he went along. So this is very surprising. But not only that, the reason why it's extremely surprising is, as Rabbi Yosef Engel himself points out, if you look further in that Gemara, in our Sugya, the Gemara clearly states that it's true that Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, you do not blow shofar. However, when it's in the Beis HaMikdash, you do blow shofar. Why? Because we assume that in the Beis HaMikdash is nothing to be concerned about. Kohanim's Rizimim, or the Bezdin HaGadol is there, as we'll see in a few minutes. There's a mistake is not going to happen. You have tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. You have people there who will stop anybody from being Mavur the shofar outside. So over here, you have Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So Moshe Rabbeinu's there. What, he's concerned that they're going to go ahead and be Mavur the shofar? He's less than the Beis HaMikdash. He's less than the Bezdin HaGadol. He's less than the Kohanim. So Rabbi Yosef Engel's whole suggestion is a very questionable one. But regardless of what Rabbi Yosef Engel suggests, the question is a very strong question. The Achronim are all trying to figure out exactly how to answer it, but I think the question is a very strong one. According to the Maskana of the Gemara, how do you understand why we need two psukim? One pasuk says Zichron Shua, one pasuk says Yom Shua, and it's not clear at all what it is that we need both psukim. So it's something to think about, maybe come up with your own answers, but it's just a point to consider as you go through the Gemara. Either way, our Gemara says clearly that this is a Takana Midrabanan. The reason why you're not allowed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos is because it's a gzeira shema yavirenu. Maybe you're going to violate the Yisr Daraisa. However, the Gemara then says that Bamigdash, when they were in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to blow the shofar even on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. And there's a machlokas harishonim, what exactly that means. Where in the Beis HaMikdash did they blow shofar? Does it mean only the Beis HaMikdash? Does it mean even Yerushalayim? So this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi in our sugya writes that the reason why in the Beis HaMikdash proper they used to blow shofar even when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos is because Ein Shavus B'Migdash. It's a famous principle that we have no Dinim D'Rabbanan that apply when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore Rashi is of the opinion that this is why in the Beis HaMikdash only they said you have nothing to be concerned about by blowing shofar on Shabbos, because the dinim derabbanan and the gzeiros derabbanan do not apply in the Beis Hamikdash setting. That's the opinion of Rashi. However, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos disagrees. The Rambam is a very famous Rambam, where the Rambam says, no, here when we say that you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias, B'Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash, it doesn't only mean that that's limited to the Beis Hamikdash proper. We extend that also to the entire Yerushalayim. Doesn't mean the Yerushalayim that we know, it means the old city of Yerushalayim that used to be called Yerushalayim. So that, says the Rambam, is considered also part of this heter, that when Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias, B'Shabbos, everywhere else in the world is not blowing shofar, and even all the other communities in Eretz Yisrael are not blowing shofar. However, in Yerushalayim itself, which was right next to the Makom HaMikdash, they used to blow shofar as well. Now the Rambam reiterates his opinion in a few places, where the Rambam says that wherever there was a bezdin, says the Rambam, look in Hilchos Shofar. The Rambam says in Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, you look it up, Kishagazru Shelo Liskar B'Shabbos, when Chazal came up with this idea not to blow shofar on Shabbos, Lo Gazru Ela B'Makom She'ein Bezdin. They only came up with this takana in a place where there was no Bezin Agadol. Abu Bizman, Shahaya Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Vahaya Bezin Agadol B'Yushalayim. And there was a Bezin in Yushalayim. HaKol HaYitokim B'Yushalayim B'Shabbos. Everybody used to go ahead and blow the shofar on Shabbos because the Bezin Agadol was there and there's nothing to be concerned about. If the Bezin Agadol is watching, so nothing's going to go wrong. We have a similar Gemara, the Gemara in Sukkah, which tells us, Barishona, originally they used to have, the Lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days. However, B'Medina, everywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, was only taken one day. Now the same Achlokas creeps up over there. Rashi and the Rambam, once again, have the same Achlokas. Rashi says, what does it mean the Lulav was taken all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash? Rashi says it means only in the Beis HaMikdash proper. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't used to take Lulav all the 7 days of Sukkot. However, Rambam there once again disagrees in the Pirush HaMishnayos, and he says, what does it mean that they took the lulav in the Beis HaMikdash 7 days? It means not only the Beis HaMikdash, it means even in the outskirts of the Beis HaMikdash, which was Yerushalayim. What you see is that the Rambam feels that the Beis HaMikdash is not just the Beis HaMikdash itself, it's also that there's an extension of the Beis HaMikdash, and all of Yerushalayim seems to have a part of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash as well. Some Achronim want to bring a raya that the Rambam is correct, because the Medrash says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, Paschu Malachi HaSharis V'Amri, the Malachi HaSharis began to sing, Baruch Atah Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim. So why they sing Bonei Yerushalayim at a time when the Beis HaMikdash was built? What does that have to do with Yerushalayim? Some Achronim want to say, you see that Yerushalayim is an extension of the Beis HaMikdash proper. And once the Beis HaMikdash is built, now that means Yerushalayim is rebuilt. Which is also, my father talks about this as well, that I think Rav Goren wanted to say that we should stop saying Nachem on Tisha B'Av once they recaptured Yerushalayim, because now you can't say Menachem Tzion Avon Yerushalayim, we have Yerushalayim. And my father said that the Rav was of the opinion that that was incorrect, because Kol Zman you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you're missing the whole crux of what Yerushalayim is all about. The Beis HaMikdash gave the Kedusha to Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim were considered in some way inextricably bound. So this is basically the opinion of the Rambam, and the Rambam himself in Ilchus Beis HaBechira writes as well, Lama Omrim, why do we say B'Migdash of Yerushalayim Kedusha Rishona Kitchali Asalavo? The Rambam says, why do we assume that the Yerushalayim retains its Kedusha even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? However, the rest of Eretz Yisrael, in the opinion of the Rambam, once there's no Beis HaMikdash, then Eretz Yisrael has no Kedusha. Again, a big machlokas of Rishonim. So the Rambam says, Lefi Shekedushas HaMikdash V'Yerushalayim Mipnei HaShchina. What endowed the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim with Kedusha, a Kedusha above and beyond anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, was the fact that the Shechina rested there. And Shechina ain't a betela. Even though the simple edifice of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though the homes in Yerushalayim were destroyed, but bottom line, the Shechina is still there, and therefore we assume Yerushalayim retains its Kedusha, and the Beis HaMikdash retains its Kedusha in that Makom as well. So you see clearly that the Rambam is of the opinion, a recurrent theme, that when we say Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't only mean Beis HaMikdash. When you say Beis HaMikdash, it means the outskirts of the Beis HaMikdash as well, which include the entire old city of Yerushalayim. We'll talk about that halacha lemaisa maybe on Wednesday, because it's a very important piece of history to know about Rabbi Kiva Schlesinger and why he wanted to blow shofar in Yerushalayim and shaking the lulav. It's what to talk about. Anyway, so the Rambam over here says that the reason why they were able to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechalias, B'Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash and in Yerushalayim is because the Bezdin HaGadol was there, there was a functioning Bezdin, and therefore we say, you have nothing to worry about. Shema Yavirenu, no one's going to make a mistake, the Bezdin is watching. So there's a kasha that some Acharonim ask, a very sharp kasha, that we hold, the Gemara says in Beit Zadaf Lamed Vav, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, and Shin Lamed Tes, it's in Choshen Mishpat as well, that we're not allowed to have a din Torah of dini mamonos on Shabbos. Why are we not allowed to have a din Torah of dini mamonos on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, it's a din derabanan. Why? It's a gzeira, shema yichtov. We're concerned, maybe you're going to come to write. So because we're concerned you're going to come to write, therefore, we say you're not allowed to have a din Torah at all. So according to the Rambam, that says that whenever you have a bezdin there, you have nothing to be concerned about making a mistake. Over here, you have the bezdin themselves is going through adjudicating a din Torah, and yet you're telling them, we don't trust you, you're going to make a mistake, gzeira shema yichtov, therefore you're not allowed to have a din Torah on Shabbos. What do you mean? But the Rambam himself writes over here that the reason why we're not concerned about making a mistake by Rosh Hashanah Shecholius B'Shabbos in Yerushalayim is because you have the bezdin present. So what's the problem? So this is the kasha that's asked by some achronim. The Arad Rabbanan is the most famous one who asks it. Arad Rabbanan is a very important sefer. So the Arad Rabbanan suggests two different answers. He says, number one is, no, the Rambam only means to say when you have the Bezdin HaGadol, when you have the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, they take responsibility. They're the greatest Talmid HaChamim. They could take responsibility for everything that happens in Yerushalayim. But Stam, any Bezdin that's going to get together to have a case on Dinei Mamonos, you're going to have three people who happen to have Smicha, are going to get together and judge a case. We can't trust them that they're not going to make a mistake, and therefore we have to be concerned. Gzeira shema yichtov, and that's where they, that they're not allowed to have a din Torah on Shabbos, even though they are a Bezdin, but they're not the Bezdin HaGadol. All the Rambam means to say over here is, there's a special status given to the Bezdin HaGadol because they are above and beyond the regular Bezdin. That's one answer that he gives. Second answer that he gives is, perhaps there's a major difference. When somebody else is going to go carry the shofar, when somebody else is going to carry the lulav, somebody else is going to make the mistake, Bezdin HaGadol is going to send out their people, they're going to stop it right away. But when the Bezdin themselves are so steeped, they're so involved in their own case, they're not going to pay attention to make sure they don't make a mistake on their own, which is fascinating. That the Arad Rabbanan believes that they're going to be able to successfully stop somebody else from doing an Avera, but when you're the one involved in the Maisa yourself, you can get so involved in what you're doing that you don't even realize you're violating an Avera. So we cannot trust the Bezdin, even if you're the Bezdin HaGadol yourself, we cannot trust you to have a Din Torah on Shabbos because we're concerned you'll make a mistake, a gzeira shema yichtov. But anyway, the simple understanding in the Gemara is not like the Rambam. Simple understanding in the way Rashi learns it is, ein shvuz b'migdash, the reason why you're not able to have tkiyah shofar outside is because we're concerned gzeira shema yavirenu, it's a din derabbanan. But in the Beis HaMikdash itself, we say, ein shvuz b'migdash, din derabbanan don't apply, and the reason why is because Kohanim's reason, the Kohanim are there, Kohanim are watching over, nobody's going to make a mistake. Now, this whole concept of Ein Shvus B'Migdash is a very difficult concept to really put our finger on and decide when it should apply and when it should not. All I'm doing today, I don't have a clarity. I just want to give a couple of examples that we can try and be Magdirit on our own once we know the different cases that are discussed in the Gemaras and the Rishonim and to try to understand where we apply this principle and where we might not. So here, we begin with the Pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. If the whole premise is Kohanim's reason, in the Beis HaMikdash there's no reason to have Gzeiros Midrabanan because the Kohanim know how to be careful. So we start with the Pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh that the Kohanim have an obligation to make Big Day Kuhuna. Now, the Mishnah tells us that the Kohanim used to go to sleep at night and they would put the Big Day Kuhuna underneath their pillows. That's the way they would go to sleep. So the Gemara and Yuma ask the question, how were the Kohanim allowed to go ahead and use these Big Day Kuhuna under their pillows? Aye, Big Day Kuhuna are made of Kilayim. So if the Torah tells you you're allowed to wear the Big Day Kuhuna and Asei Dochalosa say when you wear the Kilayim, that's just while you're wearing it. But who said you're allowed to use it to go to sleep with at night? Kilayim is not allowed for that purpose. Kilayim is only allowed for you to do the Avodah that has to be done during the day. So how are you allowed to use those Big Day Kuhuna made out of Kilayim for your own purposes of going to sleep at night and having a comfortable pillow? That's the question that the Gemara asks. Answers the Gemara, well, really there's no Issur D'Oraisa of Kilayim here. Because the truth is, you're not really using it. You're just putting it under your pillow. Just midrabanan, they said, you're not allowed to do that because we're concerned that maybe a string from the kilayim will come up and then it's going to cover you over. So this is a din derabanan that we're dealing with here. Kilayim over here, we're not wearing it on our clothing, we're just putting it under the pillow. The Gemara says we're dealing with a din derabanan. And yet the Gemara says, but how come they weren't worried about the din derabanan of having the kilayim under the pillow? So the Gemara answers two answers. Number one is they put it keneged roshayim. They didn't put it directly under their heads. They put it a little off to the side. Number two, says the Gemara, since Big Day Kuhuna are kashim heim, since Big Day Kuhuna are very tough, it's rough, it's not a smooth surface, therefore that's not really considered getting hana from the kilayim. If it was a very comfortable kind of garment, kind of item, then we would say that's having hana from kilayim. But over here, where big de kuna are kashim heim, the Gemara says that would not be a violation of the iser kilayim. Now, the Acharonim there in the back of the Gemara and Yuma ask, what do you mean? Why is the Gemara going into a whole discussion of what we're supposed to do with the Kohanim putting the big de kuna under the pillow? The whole violation that we're talking about here is kilayim midrabanan. They're not wearing the clothing, they're just putting it under the pillow. So it's exer midrabanan. Don't we know the principle that ein shvus b'migdash? Don't we know the concept ein shvus b'migdash? We don't apply exeris midrabanan in the Beis HaMikdash. So why are we concerned over here of the Kohanim using the big de kuna as a pillow at night? What's the problem? It's a din derabanan, and exeris derabanan don't apply when we're talking about something in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the question that they ask. So some answer that maybe you can suggest, based on what the Marsha and others write. Marsha says, the only time we apply the principle of ein shvus b'migdash is when we're talking about something that's regarding Hilchos Shabbos. When you're talking about any other din derabanan that has nothing to do with Shabbos, for example, kilayim midrabanan, so then the principle of ein shvus b'migdash cannot be applied. That's the chiddush of the Marsha. So therefore, that's why the Gemara here is bothered. How were they able to violate the iser derabanan of kilayim by putting the big de kuna under the pillow? Aye, and don't tell me ein shvus b'migdash, because ein shvus b'migdash cannot be applied in a case where it has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. That's what some want to say. However, this is very problematic, because there is a Gemara where the Gemara tells us that dam, when you have the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so there was a lot of leftover blood after they were done. They didn't sprinkle the whole thing on the Mizbeach, so the Gemara says they used to take that and it would go out to Nachal Kidron. So the Gemara says, once it's sprinkled, nasis mitzvah, so there's no more me'ilah. There's no problem to get hanah from it. So the Gemara says, right away after it's sprinkled, before it gets to the Nachal Kidron, before it gets out to the public place, there's no problem to use it. Once it gets to the Nachal Kidron, which we call Sofo, that's the end of the line, then there's an Isser Midrabanan of Me'ilah. The Chacham came along and said, there's an Isser Me'ilah to go and get benefit from that blood once it gets to the Nachal Kidron. But before it gets there, once it's spilled on the Mizbeach and your mitzvah is over, there's no Isser at all. Rashi writes over there, why do we assume that there's no Isser Me'ilah Midrabanan in the beginning, right after it's spilled on the Mizbeach, before it gets to Nachal Kidron? Says Rashi, Ein Shvus B'Migdash. The whole thing we're talking about is an Isser Me'ilah Midrabanan. Me'ilah Midrabanan doesn't apply when we're talking about in the Beis HaMikdash itself. They only made the Gzeira outside by Nachal Kidron. Once it gets there, then they said it now is subject to the Isser of Me'ilah Midrabanan. But while it's still in the Beis HaMikdash, nothing to worry about. What do you see? You see it clearly. Rashi, the Rishonim, say over there that the whole premise is Ein Shvus B'Migdash is not something that's limited only to Hilchos Shabbos. Ein Shvus B'Migdash is something that is an overarching principle by everything. Every din derabanan does not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, once you say like that, you're back to the kasha. Again, where we started is that the Gemara says, how were the Kohanim allowed to use the big de kahuna under their pillows at night? Aren't they concerned about the Isser derabanan of kilayim? So the Gemara answers, whatever it answers, you don't have to be concerned. Ein shvus b'migdash, why is the Gemara concerned about the problem at all? There's nothing to worry about. It's only a din derabanan of kilayim. And don't tell me that Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies to dinim that have regard to Hilchos Shabbos. Over here I brought you a case where it has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, and yet we apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So some want to say perhaps the answer is Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies in the Azara, in the Beis HaMikdash Mamash, when you're actually standing there doing Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. But over here the Kohanim, when they're going to sleep at night, where are they? They didn't sleep in the Azara. If you're not allowed to sit in the Azara, you're certainly not allowed to sleep in the Azara. So Ein Shvus B'Migdash wouldn't apply because they slept somewhere on the outskirts of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, even if they were on the Har HaBayis, but they weren't in the Azara itself, so we would say that Ein Shvus B'Migdash would not apply, which is a big chiddush. It means that Ein Shvus B'Migdash is something that's limited only to the Azara itself and not even to the Har HaBayis, not even to the outskirts where the Kohanim used to go to sleep. But the real answer that's given is, the Maariv Tzchias there in the Gemara gives the following answer. He says, no. The whole premise of why Ein Shvus B'Migdash is because it's not a magic rule. It's not that the Chacham didn't institute their takanos when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. No. It's because Kohanim's reason, because the Kohanim are alert, the Kohanim are Tamine Chachamim, they're going to make sure nobody makes a mistake. But when the Kohanim are sleeping, when the Kohanim are not awake, when they're not alert, when they're sleeping at night, you can't rely on the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Push it! That's why at night the Gemara is worried. How were they able to take the big tikkun and sleep on them? Aye, there's an Isra of kilayim midrabanan. And don't tell me Ein Shvus B'Migdash, because the whole premise of Ein Shvus B'Migdash is because Kohanim's reason. No one's going to make a mistake. But over here, somebody might make a mistake because the Kohanim are not alert. The Kohanim are not awake. They're sleeping. So that's one thing that I think is just an interesting point to consider. Now, the Gemara says in Menachos, when it came to the Lechem Apanim, very famous Gemara, so it says that the Seder HaKanim, when they used to work out all the shelves of the Lechem HaPanim, is not Tocha Shabbos. You are not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Now the question is why? What's the prohibition? How come you're not allowed to set up the Shulchan with all the sticks that are necessary? What's the prohibition on Shabbos? So the Gemara says it's a din of Tiltul Muksa Midirabanan. Din of Tiltul Muksa Midirabanan. And therefore you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Tosis has the Kasha and Mesechus Shabbos. And Tosis and Mesechus Erevin. And Tosis and Mesechus Menachos. And Tosis and Mesechus Sukkah has the same Kasha all over the place. Why is it that the Gemara says you're not allowed to set up the kanim, the sticks of the lechem apanim on Shabbos, because that's a din of tiltul muktzah, ein shuas b'migdash, the whole din of muktzah is only midrabanan. We know it's not the Araisa. So tiltul muktzah is only midrabanan. Why should that apply at all on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash? What's the problem? How come I can't go set up the lechem apanim on Shabbos, when in fact the only violation that I'll be violating is an issa d'rabanan? So the Kesef Mishnah writes, the answer is that the only time we say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash is where you have no other choice, where you have no option. But over here, where it's easy to do it otherwise, without violating an Issa D'Rabbanan, you have no right to rely on the principle of Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. So therefore, over here, the Lechem HaPanim is not going to get ruined if you don't set it all up right now. You'll wait till tonight, you'll set it up, and everything will be fine. Therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, in a case like that, you cannot rely on the principle of Ein Shavuos B'Migdash, which I think is also a very important Kesef Mishnah. When you talk about Ein Shavuos B'Migdash, does this apply just broadly? You can use it wherever you want, says the Kesef Mishnah. No, you have to limit it. It's only in a case where you have no other option. In a case where you have an option, you cannot rely on this principle. However, Tosis tells us a different answer. Tosis in all those places says the answer is that there are many different dina d'rabbanan. And sometimes we say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash, and sometimes we don't say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. Tosis doesn't say what the rule is, but he says sometimes we apply the principle and sometimes we don't, which leaves us with a bigger question. So, what's the rule? Tosis doesn't give us the Hagdara, when should we apply the principle, when should we not? Tosis just says that for some reason, by Lechem HaPanim, Tosis has the Kasha. Why don't you say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash? The answer is, because you don't say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. Right? Am I making sense? Again, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to set up the Lechem HaPanim on Shabbos, because it's a din of Tiltul Muktzah. Tosis has the Kasha, Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. The answer is, yeah, we don't say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash everywhere. Yeah, that was my question. That was exactly Tosis' Kasha. So how do you answer the kasha? When do we say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash applies? When do you say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash doesn't apply? And that's where a lot of the difficulty in understanding comes from, because since Tosis tells us that we don't always apply it, so now it's almost a free-for-all. Everyone's trying to figure out, well, maybe we apply it here, maybe we don't apply it here. And that's why it's very unclear exactly what the parameters are of the din Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. Take, for example, the Rishonim talk about the following. The Gemara has in Beit Zadaf Yutes, a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. When a person brings a karban on Yom Tif, a carbon chagiga. So, Beis Shammai is of the opinion that you're not allowed to do smicha on the carbon Yom Tif. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Now, Beis Shammai says, why is it that you're not allowed to do smicha on the carbon? Because there's a din d'rabbanan of ein rochman agabi behema, ein mishtamshim b'balei chayim. You're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbos, and since you're going to lean on the animal b'chol kocho, since you're going to lean on it with all your strength, that's called being mishtamish b'balei chayim on Shabbos, which is a violation of a din d'rabbanan. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, how does Beis Shammai tell me I'm not allowed to do smicha on my carbon on Shabbos? Don't we know the principle, Ein Shavuos B'Migdash? So what's the problem? What's the problem? Go ahead and do smicha. Violate the din d'rabbanan of asur l'shtamish b'balei chayim b'Shabbos, and it's not going to be a problem because you're doing it in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the carbon. So what's wrong? Why do you have an issue? So the Rishonim answer that, yes, it's true, Ein Shavuos B'Migdash, but that's only when you have a carbon tzibur. Over here, where you're bringing your own private carbon chagig on Yom Tiv, so we don't say Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. Yeah, is that really true? So the later Acharonim ask, we can bring you rayas. Now, I don't know Shas, but they say we can bring you rayas from all over the place, so that's not true. We don't only apply it to the dinim of carbon sibur. Take for a simple example, Ar Gemara. Ar Gemara says you're allowed to blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yisbeth Shabbos, even though it's a din d'rabbanan that you're not supposed to. Our Gemara says that you're allowed to. Why? Because Ein Shavuos B'Migdash, says Rashi. What do you mean? But that's not a carbon sibur. There's nothing to do with our carbonus. There's nothing to do with the avoda. And yet we go ahead and we apply the principle of Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. So this is a very difficult concept. So the Sfasemis writes on the Gemara in Beitza that maybe the answer is, yeah, by smicha it's a free-for-all, because each and every individual person has to do smicha on their own. So we can't just allow everybody to do their own smicha. You never know what it's going to lead to. Because if you have one person who gets up to be the Baal Tokeya, if you have one person who gets up to do something, then you're not concerned in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you have everybody doing whatever they want, you never know what that's going to lead to, so we have to stay away from the case like that, and we won't allow the principle of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash to be applied there. Take for another example. The Gemara says that for 7 days before Yom Kippur, they used to be Mafrish the Kohen Gadol, and they used to set him aside, and they used to give him Hazel Shlishi Ushvi. They used to sprinkle him with the Mayim on the third day and the seventh day. Why? Why do you have to have Parah Aduma water sprinkled on him on day seven and day three? So the Rambam says, because Shema Nitma B'meis V'lo Yoda. Maybe he became Tamei Meis and he's not even aware of it. And therefore, we have to err on the side of caution. We need to go ahead and make sure that we give him the Hazaz Meichatos to make sure that he's going to be absolutely pure before he does the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Now, says the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ches, what if the seventh day falls out on a Shabbos, and you're supposed to be sprinkling him with the Mayim of the Parah Aduma, but now it happens to be Shabbos, so what do you do? Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to do the sprinkling on day seven if it's Shabbos. Why? Because the Gemara says that it's a Isser Midrabanan. It's a Shvus Midrabanan that you're not allowed to sprinkle the Mechatos on Shabbos. Well, what's the prohibition? I can't go into my sink, take a little bit of water and sprinkle it on my face on Shabbos? So how come I can't go to the Mechatos and sprinkle it on the coin? What's the problem? So the Gemara says that the problem is, the Gemara says in Psachim, the problem is that we're concerned that maybe you're going to take Shamei Avirenu, same thing, since you have to sprinkle the Mechatos with the little grass leaves and whatever you put together. So we're concerned maybe you're going to take that little bunch of vegetables or whatever that is that you make, the hyssop, I don't know what hyssop is, but you take that thing, maybe you're going to carry it outside. Right, that's what the Gemara says. It's a Gzera Midrabanan. Okay. Hi, frekt all the Achronim. What do you mean? You're concerned about a Din Derabanan of carrying that Shemei Avirenu? Don't you know that we say in our Gemara, Ein Shvus B'Migdash, Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos, we make a Gzera Midrabanan that you're not allowed to blow a shofar. But in the Beis HaMikdash, we say there's no problem of Shemei Avirenu. Why? Because Ein Shvus B'Migdash, isn't that the exact same case? Over there you have the Hazah that has to be done on the Kohen Gadol, and the only thing that's holding you back is the Din Derabanan of Gzera Shemei Avirenu. So why don't you say it's in the Beis HaMikdash? It's for the sake of the Karbonos. It's for Yom Kippur. What's the problem? Why can't you go ahead and do that? Ein Shvus B'Migdash should apply there also. So, some Achronim want to say the answer is, no, Ein Shvus B'Migdash only applies in the Azara itself. But over here, where's the Kohen Gadol sitting all day? He's not sitting and preparing himself in the Azara. He's sitting in what we call the Lishkas Parhedrin. That was his room. That was his place. So since he's sitting in his own place, we don't assume that he's going to be able to apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash because he's not sitting in the Azara itself. Now, number one, that's subject to a major debate because not everybody agrees that the Lishkas Parhedrin is separate from the Azara. Some assume it is a part of the Azara. It's an extension. So that's, without getting into that, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, it's not a simple point at all. But even without that, so the Shagasari asked the Kasha in our Gemara, the Shagasari wants to know, what do you mean? You're nervous that that's, we're not going to allow Ein Shvus B'Migdash there. So, on the seventh day, which is Shabbos, pull him out of his room, tell him, get out of bed, stop being such a lazy bum, come into the Azara, and we're going to sprinkle you with the Parah Aduma. What are you doing? Because it's Shabbos, and because you're busy sitting in your bed in the Lishkas Parhedrin, which is not part of the Azara, therefore we're going to say that we're not allowed to do what we have to do? Come out, do what you're supposed to do, stand in the Beis HaMikdash in the Azara, and do the job. So these are major issues. These are major, major problems. So the Shaar HaMelech writes, maybe the answer is that what we're going to do is the only time we say Ein Shvus B'Migdash is where it's a Shvus Krova. But if it's a Shvus Rechoka, we're not going to allow. Now, what does that mean? Shvus Krova or Shvus Rechoka, what does that mean? So the Shaar HaMelech writes, the answer is, if it's something that's for the sake of this Shabbos, it's something that I need to do today for today's Avodah, then we're going to say that the Din Derabanan doesn't apply because it's for today. But if it's a Shvus Rechoka, it's for another day, it's for a Shabbos or Yom Tov that's not today, then we say Ein Shvus B'Migdash is not something we can rely on. So therefore, says the Shaar HaMelech over here, why am I sprinkling the Kohen Gadol with this Mei Chatas today on Shabbos? Am I doing it for Shabbos today? No, I'm doing it for Yom Kippur, which is going to be in another few days. So therefore he says, we cannot rely on the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash because that would be considered a Shvus Rechoka. Again, another important rule that's brought up about when we apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Perhaps it's only when it's a Shvus Krova, which is mamish, literally for today. Even if I have something which I'm supposed to do today, but it's not, the end goal that I'm trying to reach is not for today. Still, some Achronim say that you have to wait till tomorrow because this would not be considered a valid reason to push aside a din derabanan on Shabbos. It's a very difficult issue, and there are a lot of different places where this is discussed. But let's just get back to our Rashi and our sugya. Again, Rashi says over here that the reason why we assume you're not bound by the din derabanan of not blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah shechalis b'Shabbos is because in the base hamigdash and rely on the principle of ein shvus b'migdash. Now the Tiri Yevin and our sugya asks, what do you mean? But the principle of ein shvus b'migdash only applies to something that's a tzarech avoda. Only applies when it's for the tzarech hakarbanos. What does tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah have anything to do with the Beis HaMikdash? Happens to be, we're having a big minyan in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim have to daven, everyone wants to see what's going on, so we have a big minyan, a few million people, a few thousand people. But it's not intrinsically connected to the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it has nothing to do with it. So ask the Tiri Yevin, how can you borrow the principle of ein shvus b'migdash and use it over here? What do you mean? What does that have anything to do with anything? Like my father always gives the case. I don't know why he gives the case. Maybe I'm confusing. Father always gives the case. Would you say that a Kohen... No, he says it by a Seydo Chalosa statement. It's a similar. Would you say that a Kohen who's in the middle of shechting a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to tell him he's allowed to go and smoke a cigarette on Shabbos also because a Seydo Chalosa say you can do whatever you want since I'm shechting a carbon, therefore I'm allowed to do another Aveira? No. It's only if this is necessary for the carbon. For example, to shecht an animal on Shabbos is not permissible. However, as Seydo Chalosa say, if you're doing it for the sake of Harkavas HaKarbanos, which is a mitzvah, then you're allowed to do it. So to over here, Ein Shvus B'Migdash is not just a blatant heter that we're just going to say, oh, there's no dinim derabban in the Beis HaMikdash. No, it's only when it has what to do with the Karbanos that we're offering, with the Avodah that has to be done. So why should we say over here, Ein Shvus B'Migdash would apply to something that's not connected at all to that which is going on in the Beis HaMikdash? That's the kash of the Tiri Yevin. And he brings a raya to this. The Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara says that they used to have a minhag to take the Arava on Sukkis, and they used to bring it. It was a minhag that they had only in the Beis HaMikdash. So now we bring the Aravas Hashanah Rabbah, but then they did it only in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, how would you categorize that Maisa HaMitzvah that they were doing? Is that part of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash? No, it's not part of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Happens to be it's a minhag that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, but it has nothing to do with the Avodah. No Pasuk in Chumash says we should go ahead, take our Aravas and put them by the Mizbeach. Happens to be it was something that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, but it was not in the context of the Avodah. And yet he says, the Gemara says over there, that when it would fall out on Shabbos, we wouldn't be allowed to perform the minhag of Arava L'Mizbeach on Shabbos. Why? Because we have a concern, Gzeira Midrabanan, and we wouldn't apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Says the Tiri Yevin, you see clearly from there, that when you have something that happens to be taking place in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not connected at all to the Seder HaAvoda, what we're trying to do, you see clearly from the Gemara that you cannot apply the principle of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So therefore he extrapolates from there that I don't understand. How does Rashi say that the reason why B'Migdash, you're allowed to go ahead and blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos is because Ein Shvus B'Migdash, how can you apply that principle here? It has nothing to do at all with the regular rules of Ein Shvus B'Migdash. So the truth is the Ramban weighs in on the issue. I think the Ramban is answering this question. The Ramban weighs in on the issue and he says the following. Ukeshem shetokim sham kama tkiyos al hakarban, says the Ramban. Just like you're going to blow many other tkiyos on all the karbanos that you're offering in that particular day, token afazu, says the Ramban. You're allowed to blow for this as well. So what does the Ramban mean to say? I think what the Ramban means to say is, on a simple level, that we're not going to start being mechalik. We're not going to start saying, oh, you're only allowed to blow these, you're not allowed to blow those. No! Once you have a heter to blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash because you're offering karbanos, and the shofar is an integral part of the offering of the hakravas hakarbanos, therefore once we give you a heter, we're going to say it's a blanket heter. And now you're allowed to blow shofar, even though that blowing of the shofar only has what to do with Rosh Hashanah, and is not connected at all to the din of hakravas hakarbanos. So I think the Ramban is really addressing this question, and that's what he answers. Or perhaps he can say another interpretation in the Ramban, maybe what he means to say is, once you say, what was the whole takana midirabana why you're not allowed to blow shofar from Rosh Hashanah Shechalis B'Shabbos? We're concerned, Shema Yavirenu. Why Shema Yavirenu? Why are you going to carry it? Because Yelech Etzel Baki, we're concerned maybe you don't know how to blow shofar, and you're going to go find somebody to blow the shofar for you, or to teach you how to blow, and that's why we're concerned. But over here, maybe what the Ramban means is, once they know how to blow shofar, because they have to blow shofar for all the other activities in the Beis HaMikdash that require the blowing of the shofar, all the Kohanim know how to blow, so what are you concerned about? Shema Yavirenu? Who are you going to go to? You don't need to find somebody to teach you how to blow, you know the shofar. So the whole Takana in the first place doesn't apply. Maybe that's what the Ramban is saying. Maybe it's not just the Ramban on the simple level that Lo Chilku Ben Tkiya L'Tkiya, but maybe he means to say that since the Kohanim are such experts because they're blowing shofar every day, every time they shecht the Karban, maybe that's what the Ramban means over here, that this is why Ein Shvus B'Migdash would not apply, because there's no reason for the Takana to be applied in this particular case, because Kohanim know inside out, for many years, for many days of the year, how they're supposed to go ahead and blow the shofar, regardless, irrespective of the fact that it's Rosh Hashanah today.